So this morning, we're going to continue in our series that we've been going through, how God uses setbacks in our lives and many times to create amazing comebacks in our lives. How he can take us from hopelessness, that we're just down and we're, you know, and it's dark and we don't know how we're going to get back from where we're at to a place beyond hopefulness, that we see the light in our life, that we see that, and then we can build our lives up and we can be encouraged with it. So during this series, what we're doing is we're looking into the Bible, because that's where we get our information. We're looking into the Bible at these different setbacks that people's had in their lives, and how do they react to it? How do they handle this kind of situation? And the reason that we do that, because God has given us this book right here. This is the primary way to speak to us, but he has given this book to not only inform us, it has a lot of information, but it's also, we've been given this book to transform us, to change our lives, that we would be different, that we would be able to work through these things. So he tells us in Romans 12:2, and it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the testing you may discern, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So the Bible is telling us, don't conform to the world. Don't, because everybody else is doing this, don't be like that. Don't conform to that. But it says be transformed, to be changed is what he's talking about. By how? Not just gritting your teeth and saying, I'm going to change or anything like that. He says, by the renewing of the mind. By the renewing of the mind, by reading his word, by looking at the Bible, to seeing what the Bible says, by understanding and knowing and the will of God is in our life. And the translation in that is to be being transformed. It's a continual process. It doesn't just happen at one time. It's a continual process that happens in our life. And we haven't arrived yet until he's arrived. You see what I'm saying? We haven't arrived yet till he's arrived. So let's just keep on working on that. So the question that we're asking as we go through this series, and the thoughts that's kind of on our minds as we go through life and we navigate all these issues that's going on, is how? How do we do that? I mean, we know, you know, we read our Bible and we understand it, but how do we be transformed? Is that, you know, is it just a snap of the hand? Is it that? How do we be transformed? You know, how do I change my life? How do I move into a life of righteousness that's pleasing and well for God? How do I do that? Because it seems like, in my life at least, and especially this year, that every corner that I go around, there's a roadblock. There's like something in my way. There's an issue going on. There's something that's drawing me back. It's like, don't go that way. You know, go over this way. There's something. I'm finding myself kind of set back. You know, it's like, especially this year, it's one step forward and two steps backwards. And life can feel like that sometimes. And to be honest, if we're really honest with ourselves, most of the setbacks in our lives, they're probably the result of our own bad decisions. They're probably the result of things we've done ourselves in our life. So at a time, you know, where we thought about it and we looked at it and we thought, well, this makes sense. And we have worldly thoughts and we think, well, this makes sense. This is logical. I can't see any harm in this. What's going to happen with this? And I can remember in my younger years, and especially before I became a Christian, I made a lot of bad decisions. And at that time, the world would have told me that they were good decisions. In fact, that's probably where I got that information. But they were bad decisions. But I got to make something clear to you, clear to everybody here, clear to everybody at home, that they understand this completely, is that God can turn any setback into a comeback. Listen, God can turn any setback, whatever it was, into a comeback. So maybe you were going along and you did something and you kind of took the wrong path. The Lord was pointing you in this direction. You're like, well, I think I'm going to try this. Well, God's like, well, I can work with that. I can have some good come out of this. And maybe you made some bad choices in your life, in your younger years. And God says, I can work with those things. I can use those things. I can use that pain to improve you, to make you better. Or maybe you took the easy way out and it was going to be a hard decision and it was going to be a hard road if you took this way, so you went that way. God says, I got that. I'm going to work with you where you're at right now. Not where you're going, not where you were, but I'm going to work with you where you're at right now. So with God's help, he can turn any setback, whatever's going on in your life, wherever you're at right today, he can turn any of those into a comeback. So today what I want us to look at is, what do you do, though, when the setback isn't your fault? It happens. And I'm not talking about you just saying, well, that's not my fault. I'm talking about, you know, what do you do in the setback when it really isn't your fault? Because honestly, when you look at it, a setback that's your fault, that's not too hard to deal with. I messed up. I need to fix this. So you know what's going on. I mean, you caused it. It's your own mistake. So you really know what you need to do. I need to go apologize. I did something wrong. I made a bad decision. I need to go make things right. I need to quit doing something. I need to start doing something or whatever that. So when it's our issue, it's kind of we know what to do. We know how to repair our mistakes. We know what we should be doing. We know what to do to make it right. But often in our lives, and when it comes to storms and we're going through these storms in our lives and we have all these setbacks coming on in our lives and everything, and you're going through some suffering, you're in pain, you're in anguish. And this suffering many times is caused by other people's bad choices. It's caused by other people's bad choices, by their poor decisions regarding our life. And many times it can even be their sins that have manifest itself into our lives. And you're the innocent party. And not innocent of sin, but you're the innocent party in this situation. But you're the one that's going through these setbacks. You're the one that has these burdens now. You're the one that's suffering. Maybe it was somebody else's infidelity. You didn't cause that. You didn't do that. Maybe somebody broke your heart and broke your trust. You didn't do that. Maybe somebody lied to you. Maybe somebody was dishonest to you. It's not your fault, but it's causing problems in your life. It's causing, maybe somebody abused you, physically or mentally. Not that, but you're suffering the consequences. You're carrying the burden. You have the pain. You've been carrying this guilt around on you, this guilt that you shouldn't be carrying, but you've been carrying these feelings around with you. That it's my problem, it's my issue, it's on my back, I have to fix this, I can't deal with it. And that all happened because of somebody else's stupid, selfish mistakes. Now you got these harmful choices that you have to make in your life. And it's knocked you back for a loop. Maybe for days, for months, maybe even years in your life. So how do you come back from that? How do you do that? And some of you listening today, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're carrying that pain. You've been carrying those burdens. You understand completely. You've been deeply hurt by other people, that they'd done things in your life. Maybe right now, maybe what you're doing, maybe somebody at home, they're doing with this, they're dealing with a setback from a divorce. You didn't want it. You didn't ask for it. But somebody's leaving you. Maybe you're paying the price because of some financial decisions, you know, at your business or your personal choices in your life. And now you're considering bankruptcy. It's like the person that was responsible, they're gone. Now what do you do with this? Wasn't your fault. Maybe you've inherited some issues from your parents or something. And I'm not talking about like personality issues. I'm just talking about maybe there was something going on with your parents and now they're gone and maybe you inherited some of their problems in your life. Or maybe you just lost your job, maybe with this COVID thing and all of this stuff that's going on. Maybe you just lost your job or maybe your company just got bought out. And they just had to kind of refigure everything. It's not your fault. But your feelings are hurt. You're reeling from this setback. You have financial responsibilities, and it's really affecting you financially in your life, physically in your life, mentally in your life. You're stressed out over this whole thing, and it's taking its toll on you. It's not your fault. Somebody else made these choices. They just affect you. Doesn't mean they were bad choices either. Doesn't mean that somebody had to be mean to you. Maybe it's just some situation that was brought into your life that just happened. Maybe maybe your parents got a divorce or something like that. Maybe you're a parent and you're grazing grandchildren for some reason. Maybe there's some health issues that came on, and it's just setting you back and you're in this storm now. You don't know what's going on. Maybe it was a company reorganization and all of a sudden you find yourself in the middle of Midwest Kansas, Who knows? There's all kinds of things, but they wreak havoc on your life and your health and your happiness and your hope. Maybe all of these things are just kind of compounded together and they're making it difficult on you. So that's what I want to talk about today when stuff happens in your life and it's really not your fault. It's really not. You're going through this storm. You see this. You're going through this storm. And God's coming and going to go through there with you. And what we're going to talk about today is not how to avoid it. Because you can't avoid it. That's part of life. Storms are what happens when you're having life. It's how to survive it. I want you to be able to see and hear a biblical view of what God does and how God helps us, even protects us. We're in the middle of these setbacks, when we're in the middle of these storms. And then, after all of that, brings us through into a wonderful, amazing comeback in our lives. So how do you turn a setback into a comeback? Even when it's not your fault, even if it's somebody else's fault, even if somebody else made those decisions. If you would, open up your Bibles. We're going to be in Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Fire up your app. Turn off your ringer, whatever you need to do. New Testament if you're at home. If you're new to the Bible, it's about 6 books into the New Testament. Acts chapter 27. And it gives us a perfect example of this. You know how often we suffer because of the foolishness of other people's choice. And how we can trust God for a comeback and not blame the other people. In fact, don't even look at the other people. It's not the other people's responsibility to deal with this issue. It's not there. These dumb decisions that they made, they've made those. It's not their responsibility to fix us. That's God's responsibility. We can do that. We can trust God that's going to lead us back onto the path that we need to be in. So in Acts chapter 27, we're going to talk about Paul today and how he got caught in a storm. How he survived this storm, how he went through this storm. Didn't have anything to do with him. It wasn't his fault. His life was a wreck and literally shipwrecked. He was having a difficult time and it wasn't his fault. So here's the background before we start reading. Here's what's going on. Paul, he goes around, he's teaching the gospel, he's spreading the word of Christ all over the place. And one of his, he wanted to go to Rome. His whole thought process was, I'm working my way to Rome. I'm heading my way to Rome because he wanted to preach the gospel in Rome. And probably his greatest desire, his greatest dream would be to go into the Colosseum and preach the gospel there. Not because Paul wanted to be, I want to go there. It's a great place. All the big speakers go there. Not anything like that. That wasn't what he wanted to do. It was because Rome was the greatest place in the world at that time. Rome was the most powerful place in the world at that time. It was the most influential city at that time in the world. If he could bring it there, if he could spread the news there, it would really spread. Paul was wanting to bring the gospel through his preaching and come there and preach to them there. But what happened there, it didn't quite go his way. What God used in his life for a great comeback from a horrible setback was God used his imprisonment. Because Paul's plan was to go to Rome, but it wasn't this way. It was probably on a cart or on a horseback or on foot or something like that, but it wasn't through prison. It wasn't through a setback. It wasn't right in the middle of the storm when he said, this is not how I had it planned out. This isn't how this is supposed to work out. So Paul had been on trial. He'd been accused of a crime that he didn't commit. But because he was of a citizenship, because he was a Roman citizen, he was able to talk to them, and he was able to appeal that, and he was granted an appeal, and he was able to take it to a higher court. Guess where that was? In Rome. So God's already working in his setback, and he had this appeal, and so we're going to pick up the story. Paul's in Crete. He's getting ready to go to Rome. He's placed on this prison ship that was headed for Rome. And so they had been there, and they had been docked in this harbor for quite some time. They'd spent a little bit too much time for them. There was a lot of festivals going on in the city and everything. So this crew, there was probably about 200 or more than 200 people on this ship. So they were sitting there, and they were saying, you know, we need to get out of here. Fall weather was coming up. It was getting a little cold, and the mornings they'd wake up as cold. And they thought, we need to get moving fast. We've got our ship loaded. We've got our passenger list loaded. We've got everything loaded. We've got our cargo loaded in here. And so we need to get moving. Because this would have been a standard route. It wasn't something unusual. This would have been a standard route that they would have come back and forth from here, stop a little bit along the way, but they would have taken cargo. They would have taken goods back and forth. They would have taken people back and forth. They would have even taken prisoners back and forth, which is Paul, what he was doing. They was taking him to court. And so this ship route probably went just back and forth from Crete to Rome. But they're thinking and they're talking. They said, well, if they didn't sail soon, it was going to be too late. Because we've got to get out of here. We've got to get out on the ocean and we've got to move up there. We can't get out in the middle of the ocean if it gets too late. So, you know, if we don't leave in time, we're going to have to winter the weather and everything right there where they're at. And so if they didn't hurry up and go, sailing was going to be dangerous. It was going to be tough. It was going to be difficult. And the crew, they're getting impatient. They're all around the ship. They're hanging around there. They're on the dock. They're talking to each other. Maybe they've got family members back in Rome. Maybe they've got homes back in Rome. Maybe they've got children back in Rome. And so they're thinking, we got to get out of here. And if they didn't go, they knew that if you waited too long, you were done. You were there for the winter. You had to buckle in instead of it. So you was going to be wintering in Crete and instead of Rome. So a decision needed to be made. They need to decide, okay, we're going to go or we can't. What are we going to do? Paul, being a prisoner, he wasn't part of that decision. This wasn't a luxury cruise. He would have been buckled up and tied to either a post, or he would have been tied to a guard or something. So this is where we're going to pick up the story right here. It's Act chapter 27, verse 9. Everybody's around the ship. Everybody's on the dock. Everybody's thinking about their discussing this. And it says, since much time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous because of even the fast was already over. So the festivals, everything had passed. Everything had done the festivals. They did everything. They're like, you know, maybe we waited too long. And so Paul advised them. So he's within their midst. They're all talking about what should we do? What do you think we should do? So Paul advised them in verse 10. And he says, sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with inquiry, much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. So Paul's telling him, he said, you know, if we leave now, this is going to be bad. This is going to be, you know, we're going to lose some cargo. We're going to lose the ship. Very likely we're going to lose our lives if we leave right now. And so when we think about this, and they heard this, but they just kind of ignored, but they heard this, but what causes people, what causes us to make bad decisions? Decisions that set us back, that once we get knocked back a few steps, what causes that? What, you know, how do they find themselves, you know, how do we get through this and weather these storms in our life? This loss of security that we have in our life, this safety that we have in our life, this feeling of hopelessness that we find ourselves in. I mean, what causes us to make a decision like that? And I'll tell you what it is number one, you can write this down in your notes, it'd be a wise decision. Number one is we listen to ungodly advice. We listen to ungodly advice. And I know how silly that sounds and how weird that sounds. It's like, well, and as Christians, we do this, you know, well, I know what the Bible says, but I think... How strange does that sound? I know what God said, but I think, or we might say, well, God, you know, I'm in a different situation than everybody else in there. And so, you know, we think that I think, and so now that we know, I know nobody in this room would do anything like this, you know, but sometimes we do that and we say, you know, let's just look at this for a minute. You know, have you ever been given bad advice from somebody that you know? Yes. Yeah, we do that all the time. Have you ever been given bad advice by somebody that was an expert in their field? Maybe a doctor, maybe a lawyer, maybe somebody like that. Yep, I would say that would be a true statement. Have you ever been ruled out by an expert? Maybe a boss, maybe a spouse, maybe a parent. We do that, then we get overruled. And, you know, obviously they're experts. We know, you know, they must know better. So now the next question is, have the experts always been right? Have you always been right as a parent? Have you always been right as an employer? Have you always been right as a doctor or lawyer or whatever it is we do, whatever kind of work we do? Have you always got every single time, did you make the right decision? I mean, even experts don't always make the right decision. But here's something interesting. Now that you've noticed how Corona is like in full swing, I mean, it's coming at us from every single direction. Do you notice how many experts there are out there? These experts on infectious diseases that are in the world right now. I mean, all of a sudden, it's like everybody, I don't know how they got their degrees so quickly, but all of a sudden, everybody's got degrees right now. And even, there's even some people that don't have degrees, but they're still giving expert advice. They're out there, they got their laptops going, and they're looking up, and they're Googling stuff, and they say, well, here's what this says. Well, here's what this says. So everybody now is an expert on that. And don't even get me started on face masks. We don't even want to talk about the experts. There's millions of experts on face masks, whether it works, whether it doesn't work. Millions of advisors. That's what we'll call them today. We're going to call them advisors. But unfortunately, most of them have a personal agenda. They want you to be on their side. They want you to say, yes, you're right. They want you to say, yeah, I'm going to do what you're doing. So let's look at this last verse. Or the next verse. It says, verse 11, it says, so Paul had talked to him and they'd come to this conclusion and everything. And he said, this is probably a bad thing. We better not do this. And it says, but the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. So the centurion was the guy that was, he was buckled up to Paul. And Paul's like, I don't think we ought to do this. I think it's going to be bad. You know, we're going to get hurt and everything. And so, but he's not listening. He's paying attention to the pilot. He's paying attention to the captain of the boat. He's paying attention to the owner of the boat. So what we do is we listen to ungodly advice. So Paul's saying, this is what God's telling me. And they're saying, yeah, but it's his ship, and he knows a little bit more about his ship. Or he's the captain, he knows a little bit more about him. I mean, how silly does that sound? So is the guard is paying more attention to the captain than he is to Paul right here. And so, you know, when we hear from God, we need to forget what the experts say. We need to trust what God says. I want to make this point as simple as I can be right now. Then we're going to go on to the next verse. But when God tells you not to do something, ignore all the experts. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter what degrees they have. When God tells you not to do something, not to go somewhere, that you shouldn't be doing that, ignore all the experts. Ignore all your friends that give you that marital advice. I think it's a good idea to move in together. I think that's a good thing to go on this run for a little bit and see how you like it. See how it all works out. Ignore them. Ignore all your coworkers with their with their habits and everything that you know. You can just call in sick anytime you want, or they owe you extra money, or you know, it's your stuff. You know, they owe this to you. Go ahead and take home what you want to take home. Forget about all those guys. All those parents about how to raise your children, they're going to inform you how you should be raising your children. Listen to what God says how you should be raising your children. Do it that way. Do what God tells you to do about raising your children. When God tells you to not to do something, ignore all the experts. Why do you say that? Because they're going to be wrong. Because God hasn't made a mistake yet. He hasn't led anybody astray yet. And he's not going to start with you. So the second reason that people fall into storms and get themselves into situation and suffer these setbacks is not only do they listen to godly advice, it's like, what would you do? What would you do in this situation? They follow ungodly advice. No, they only listen to ungodly advice. They follow ungodly advice. In other words, it's like, you know, we just kind of go with the flow. The creek is going this way, and it's just easier to go along where the creek's taking you. We choose what's popular. This is what everybody else is doing, so this is what we're going to do. They take the path of least resistance. It's easier. I didn't say it was better, but it's easier. So the centurion paid more attention to the pilot, to the captain of the ship. I know this is Paul, and I know he's a Roman citizen, and he's, you know, he's a little bit of something and everything, but I'm gonna listen to the guy that's driving the boat. So the captain said to all these men, all these 250 people on this boat or everything, the captain said, come on, guys, let's go. Let's all pack up and go. So even though Paul had told them, you know, God said stay. I said, well, we're going to go. And I can imagine Paul, you know, when he's saying, you know, I got a message from God and God said we really need to stay. And they're like, well, we're going to go anyways. I can imagine him just kind of shaking his head a little bit. You know, you have no idea of the storm that we're getting ready to get sailed into. And I talk to a lot of young people and I talk to young couples and everything. And they talk about testing the waters or this is a wise decision or it's going to save us so much more money when we do this. We're going to try it this way. It just seems to make a little more sense. It's smart thinking, actually, is what it is. And I just do. I want to say to them, you have no idea what kind of storm you're sailing into. You don't have a clue what you have coming at you. So we listen to ungodly advice, and we also follow ungodly advice. Number three is this. Sometimes we justify our own advice. We think about that ourselves. We justify our own advice. We convince ourselves that this is right. Because look what it says in verse 13. It says, now, so they're in the boat. They get ready to take off. It's like, you know, I'm not sure. Paul said, we really shouldn't do it. Here's what God said. God said, stay in the bay. They said, we're going anyways. We don't care. And then in verse 13, it says, now, when the south wind blew gently, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete, close to the shore. So they go out. It's a nice little breeze early in the morning. It's a nice breeze. Their sails catching wind and everything. It's like, yeah, this is okay. It's not going to be bad. They're standing out on the front of the boat and everything. The wind's blowing in their face. It's like, see? You're probably telling Paul, you know, see? Everything's okay. Everything's working out okay. The weather isn't bad. And we start justifying our own means. Well, it's going to be okay if we do this, you know. And it seems logical to us. God's not going to punish us for doing anything like that. Johnny's parents let him do that. I know the other kids do those kind of things. We're in love. We love each other so much. We've known each other for like 2.5 months. It's like, you know, we can't wait. I hear that a lot. We can't wait. We're burning with desire. They'll pay for it later. They'll lose on it later. When we justify our own situations, we don't listen to what God says. We don't listen to when we don't listen to what God says, and we listen to what the crowd says, and then we end up responding to the circumstances that we're in. It's painful. We do it. It's hard. It's difficult. It's uncomfortable. And it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter how favorable something is, really. It doesn't matter what the experts say. This is what you should do. This would be a great time to do that. It doesn't matter what your friends say. You know, because then you end up and you say, look, you know, it's just like, you know, they found a favorable wind. Everything worked out. Everything worked for the good. But God had already said no. And do you think God said no and then God's like, well, it looks like they got lucky. The weather's going to be okay. They already said no in your life, whatever's going on in your life. Or maybe God just said, not now. It's coming later. Be patient. Take it easy. But you set your sails anyway. The wind is blowing kind of nice, but you're going straight into a storm. And it feels right. It's like we just need to do it. It feels right, you know, because it feels good. So it must be right. We did make the right decision. South wind blew gently, it says. They supposed, it's an important word, they supposed they had obtained their purpose. They supposed they got by with it. They supposed they didn't get caught. They supposed nobody knew about it. So it's like, okay, we're okay. Verse 14 says, but soon a tempest, a tempestuous wind called the northeaster struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it. And we're driving and we're driven along. So now all of a sudden, instead of this nice gentle brand, now they're at the mercy of the storm. Or the storm, they couldn't fight against it, so they just had to let their sails down. And they were just, you know, wherever it took them. They trusted in the circumstances. It looks good. It seems okay. The world says we all decided together. Everything, it's logic, you know. The experts say everything's going to be okay. You still have plenty of time. So everything seemed good, but now they're out in the middle of it. So what lesson can we learn from this story? What do we do? Because it's going to happen. You know, it's going to happen. Our lives aren't perfected yet. We're not holy and righteous yet. You know, we're still working on that. So it's going to happen in our life. What do? You know, we ended up and we're in the middle of the setback and we know it's a setback and it's not our fault. We didn't cause it. It's not our setback. You know, we didn't cause it. But you're right in the middle of the setback. What do? Because setbacks can cause you to drift from your goals. Setbacks can cause you to drift from your goals. We need to understand this, that they push you off course. When you're having a setback, you're off course. It says verse 15, it says, and when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, they're fighting, they're trying to go this direction, they could not face the wind. It says, we gave way to it and we were just driven along. There's too much resistance. When you find yourself and there's just too much resistance, there's too much pain. The storms and the setbacks, they tend to cause us to lose control of what's going on in our lives. All of a sudden, we're playing catch up now. The wind is pushing us, and we're trying just to catch up. We're just trying to not go under. And so we lose control, and then what happens is we stop trying. It's just like, I can't go against this anymore. I can't fight this anymore. So we stop trying. It says they gave way to it. Now they got something else leading them. Now they got something else pushing them. They gave up. They had lost all hope. The marriage is, you know, we can't salvage it. Their kids are gone. There's nothing we can help them. We don't have enough money. We just got to give up. They lost all hope. So we have to understand that setbacks can cause us to drift from our goal. And number two, setbacks can cause us to discard all our values. What's important, what our values are. Verse 18, it says, since we were violently storm-tossed, they begin the next day to jettison the cargo, meaning they threw it off there. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. So the very thing that's keeping them alive, their cargo, their food, and everything they got, they threw that stuff overboard. And then the very thing that's steering the boat, they threw that stuff overboard. We just got to get everything. If it's got any weight, we got to throw this stuff over the board. And you notice how this progression is happening in here? Because they listened to ungodly advice. First, they threw out the cargo, the stuff that was going to keep them alive. They're trying to lighten the ship. Then they throw out all the equipment that they need. This is the equipment that helps them to run the ship and the sails and everything like that. And so they've kind of lost sight of their goals. They've given up. They've lost sight of their values. Everything that was important to them at one time, now they're just throwing it away. They're scared. And lesson three says that setbacks can cause you to lose all hope. They've just hope completely given up. It says in verse 20, it says, and whether neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay on us. I mean, it was a bad storm, it was a big storm. It says, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. They quit. They're on the boat. They've given up. They've quit. Sky's black. You know how it feels sometimes. The sky's black. The storm's raging. Like, I can't get out from under this. I can't do this. They'd lost all hope. Well, everybody but Paul. He's in the middle of this too. He's in that same storm. He may have even had to help them throw some of that stuff overboard. But he says, in the middle of the storm, this is in the middle of the storm, not after it's like God took him through it. This is in the middle of the storm. Paul says, yet now, in verse 22, yet now I urge you to take heart that there will be no loss of life among you, but only of your ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of the God of whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And he says, and behold, and he's like, check this out too. God has granted you all those who sell with you. He's also granted that to all those who sell with you. So he says, so take heart, men, for I have faith in God and that it will be exactly as I have been told. He says, I have faith in God that it's going to be exactly like I've been told. Even in the days of this total darkness, even in the days of the violent storm, even when they would look like everything was going to be completely lost, Paul was still filled with hope. Not hope that he wouldn't be in the storm, not hope that he might not be, you know, get into the water, not hope that it wasn't a very, very, very dangerous and dark and bad situation. But he was filled with hope. And his secret is, and I believe this, is when you face a setback, doesn't matter if it's a storm, it doesn't matter if it's a storm that you caused, it doesn't matter if somebody else made poor decisions in your life or made dumb decisions around you, you need to remember these three things that Paul remembered, is there is always the presence of God. No matter where you're at, no matter what's going on in your life, there's always the presence of God. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will be with you in the storm. Number two is the purpose of God. God has a purpose in your life. You know, it's greater than any storm that's happening. You can't say, you know, I messed up too bad because God's not going to be able to help me. He has a purpose in your life. And maybe you made some bad decisions and God says, we'll work with that. Maybe you made some good decisions and God said, we'll work with that. But he's always got a purpose in life and he's going to work with that. And he's going to take you through any of these storms in your life. And number three is the promise of God. When you're in this, Paul's in the middle. The ship is going down. And Paul's like, don't worry. And I don't think it was quite that easy, but Paul said, you know, I know it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard on us. But God's going to get us where he wants to take us as long as we allow him to. The sky's black. It's dark and everything. The ship's falling apart. And he says, have faith in God. Trust in God. Paul's faith, it wasn't in the ship. Like, I hope this ship holds together. They'd wrapped it up in ropes and cables and all this stuff. We've got to hold this ship together. And his faith wasn't in the ships. His trust wasn't in the captain. Well, maybe this captain is a good captain. Maybe he will be able to get us through all of this. It wasn't in that. Paul's faith was in the promise of God. And he said that. He says, I have faith that it will be exactly like he said. It'll be exactly like God said. He'll give you whatever the storm's going on, whatever's on the horizon that you have coming towards you, because you may have a storm, or at some point in your life you will have a storm. Whatever storm you're in right now, whatever's happening in you right now, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in him. Not to remove the storms, but to help you to weather the storms, to get through the storms. And once you get past that setback, he's got a comeback for you that you'll be amazed at. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you right now. And it seems, Lord, that this whole world is in a setback. That we move forward one step and we go back two steps. And for many people out there, Lord, they are having a setback, whether through employment, whether through finances, whether through marriages, whether through health issues, Lord. But it's a real setback. But we know in all of this, Lord, that your promises is that he will come back. No matter how bad the storm, no matter how dark it gets, that your son will come back and he will free those that have been captive and he will grab us, Lord, and take us back with him. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.